Welcome to Around and About Chattanooga. I'm your host, Michael Edward Miller, and on today's show, we're speaking with a Philadelphia sculptor who brought Clarence Darrow back to Tennessee, back to the site of the infamous Scopes Monkey Trial. Dayton, Tennessee, that's where in July of 1925, Clarence Darrow and William Jennings Bryan fought in court over whether it should be legal for public schools to teach evolution. Darrow fought for science, Bryan fought for faith. It was one of the most famous 20th century trials, the first ever broadcast on national radio, and continues to bring tourists to the Tennessee courthouse where it took place. For many years, a statue of Bryan stood on the courthouse lawn. It stood alone. Philadelphia sculptor Zenos Froudakis decided that was unbalanced. A statue of Clarence Darrow should be there too. And before I get into my interview with Froudakis about how he did this and why the Freedom From Religion Foundation got involved, I'm going to play a feature story I produced last year that gives background on all this. Here's a story that aired in July of 2017, just before the annual Scopes Trial Festival.
William Jennings Bryan prosecuted John Scopes for teaching evolution more than 90 years ago. The courthouse where that trial happened still brings tourists to Dayton, Tennessee. Later this week, there will be something new to see there. A group of atheists and agnostics will unveil a monument to honor the defense attorney in the case. From member station WUTC, Michael Edward Miller reports.
The trial is part of Kirby Garrison's family lore.
That was my great-grandparents' first date, going to the trial. The monkey trial is what they called it.
Garrison co-owns Monkey Town Brewing Company, a brew pub and pool hall near the courthouse. Evolution IPA is on tap. Photos of the trial's famous attorneys hang on a wall.
Two powerhouses. It was William Jennings Bryan and Clarence Darrow kind of duking it out. Idea fighting idea.
Bryan was an influential Christian crusader. Darrow was a famous attorney who championed science and secularism. He unsuccessfully represented high school science teacher John Scopes, who was on trial for violating Tennessee's ban on teaching evolution. A train passes the historic courthouse, where Bryan stands on the lawn, cast in bronze. The statue was commissioned by Bryan College, a local evangelical institute founded in his honor.
I'd hate to think what our size would be and what we would be today if we hadn't had Bryan College to help us grow.
Bill Holland is a county commissioner. He says Bryan's legacy looms large, but a $150,000 statue of his rival is about to be installed on the courthouse lawn, mostly funded by the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Philadelphia sculptor Zenos Froudakis created the Clarence Darrow statue.
It'll get people thinking and talking, and it's just more historically balanced and accurate that way to have him there.
Some locals disagree. They're also unhappy the Freedom From Religion Foundation has worked to stop Bible distributions in public schools and now is putting up this statue. But Rachel Held Evans thinks most people here don't view it as an imposition. She's a best-selling Christian author who wrote a memoir about her faith evolving in Monkey Town.
I'm a Christian who believes in evolution, and those two things can exist together.
Each year, the annual Scopes Trial Festival keeps tourists coming to town. When they visit the historic courthouse, they'll see the trial's two rivals reunited in bronze. For NPR News, I'm Michael Edward Miller in Dayton, Tennessee. You're listening to Around and About Chattanooga. I'm Michael Edward Miller. That story aired last year before the Scopes Trial Festival in July. After it aired, the statue went up without any problems or protests. But as you heard, the story had a very short soundbite from sculptor Zenos Froudakis. I actually recorded an in-depth conversation with him, a really interesting talk, and I regretted not being able to include more of it in such a short story. I've been thinking about this because it's July again, and another Scopes Trial Festival has come and gone. So today, I'm going to play a lot more of that interview, a conversation never before heard.
How did you first get involved with the Darrow statue? How were you first contacted?
Well, I wasn't contacted to do the Darrow sculpture. It's a self-initiated project. I realized that if I wanted to do projects that I wanted to do more, that had to do with, that were more thematic and had ideas Like, for example, my freedom sculpture that I did in town here in Philadelphia, I'd have to come up with the idea myself. And I had read in a book about Clarence Darrow that there was a sculpture of William Jennings Bryan in town, but there wasn't a sculpture. And also someone called me who mentioned at one point I was in a humanist magazine for my sculpture that I have at Rowan University of a large book sculpture with people on it, like Einstein and Darwin and so on. And he said, you know, there's a need for a sculpture of Darrow at the Scopes trial courthouse. And I had remembered thinking that when I read this, read that the author of the book on Darrow said, well, there wasn't one of Darrow. And I felt like a sculpture just of William Jennings Bryan there, which is what, you know, the William Jennings Bryan College sponsored, made the piece somewhat polemical. It made it a kind of preachy piece, you know, putting it on secular ground. I know there's a person who's saying it's sacred ground. A courthouse is not a sacred, but it's not a church, you know. But I thought by putting Clarence Darrow there, that it would balance and restore the historical authenticity of what happened there in 1925, and it's just more historically balanced and accurate that way to have him there. In fact, there's still an absence there. John Scopes should be there as well. It's a Scopes trial. Yeah. So, you know, one thing artists sometimes do is they look at what other people have done and they think, well, that's interesting, but it's missing something and I want to put that in there. You know, otherwise they wouldn't do anything. So that's, you know, what I'm doing as an artist.
How often do you do historical figures? Is this your main line of work, so to speak?
No, I don't do just as I love history. But I'm interested in philosophy, and I'm interested in, you know, and having something to say. And you know, when you're a sculptor, and this is all I've done for 40 years, and I've done just over 100 figures in bronze that are over 7 feet high around the world. And so, you know, when I have to, I'll do jobs. I'll do, you know, CEOs, or I do sports figures like I did Mike Schmidt here at the 10 feet high at the stadium, and Steve Carlton and others. But in those cases, and those aren't, well, they're historical now, but they're not philosophical, or the client usually knows what they want. For me, most of the time, I find myself, to paraphrase Schopenhauer, taking an idea that someone gives me. They give me a target they want me to hit, and I try to give them a target they don't even know exists and try to hit that. And that's, as an artist, that's what you do, you know, what I should do. You know, it's, if they knew what it was, they'd be the artist.
That's Zenos Froudakis, the Philadelphia sculptor who created the statue of Clarence Darrow that now sits on the courthouse lawn in Dayton, Tennessee, home of the Scopes Monkey Trial. How did you first get interested in Clarence Darrow, the historical person?
You know what? I've read hundreds of biographies when I was a child growing up. I wanted to learn from their lives. And I say hundreds. I may have read thousands. And Darrow was one of the people that I read about, and I admired him. I admired his intellect and his humanism and his progressive agenda that he did a lot for the underdog. And in fact, one of the biographies, I think, is called Attorney for the Damned, you know, people that the people in the unions. And he did represent people who were wealthy as well, and then he would turn around and use that money to support people who couldn't afford him as well, which I've tried to do with projects. I've done many projects where I either didn't make money or I lost money because they were important to me in terms of the you know, the message and the meaning of the piece.
And I've read this. Is this true? You were in a play, Inherit the Wind, when you were like a little kid?
That's right, yes. When I was in, and this was my early interest, that's interesting, when I was in seventh grade, I was in Indiana, Horseman High School, and my speech teacher put on Inherit the Wind. And she asked me to be in it, and I was a child, in a sense. And I had, when the curtain opened, I was one of the two children on the stage. And you don't see this in the movie. They've cut this out of the movie, but I'm a little boy and this little girl, and at some point I reach over and I remember just vaguely picking up a worm and putting it in her face, you know, to scare the girl, as the little boys do sometimes. And I say to her, "You was a worm once," something like that. And she says, "No, I wasn't." And then I go in, and you know, it comes. And what happens from that conversation is that she goes home and tells her parents, "Well, he said I was a worm," you know, and they find out that John Scopes is teaching evolution in the schools. So I remembered that, and so it was important to me to initiate this project, and we had to find funding, and we were fortunate to have the Freedom From Religion Foundation have ask its members for money, and we did it. I just jumped into the deep end with it and started sculpting it, and there were enough people who felt that the First Amendment and Jefferson and the whole idea of having the separation of church and state was important. I mean, there are countries like Iran and others that don't have that separation, and I don't think we want to go there, but there are some people who don't mind that. And I think even our president said that there was too much separation, you know, between church and state now, and that's a scary thing. And that's the other reason I did this. I saw the political situation, and I was concerned about the encroachment, you know, of... I don't have a problem with people practicing their religion and teaching it at home or in private schools or in religious schools, but not in secular schools. And when you start changing the science, you know, to adapt to the your story, your narrative, you know, your ideological or religious narrative, it gets a little bit scary. You know, it becomes, you know, you can't just change truth like that in facts. I know people have tried to do that in politics as well of late. And so, you know, that's been my interest. That was part of what initiated, again, this drive to create this sculpture, because in some way, as an artist, I wanted to make a difference.
If you're just tuning in, I'm speaking with Zenos Froudakis, the Philadelphia sculptor who created the statue of Clarence Darrow that now sits on the courthouse lawn in Dayton, Tennessee, where the Scopes Monkey trial happened. Of course, Clarence Darrow, one of the famous lawyers involved in that case over teaching evolution in schools, he faced William Jennings Bryan, whose statue has been there for quite a few years. Here's more of our conversation. When you decided you wanted to do this, how did you go about, you know, getting funding? How did you go about contacting people in Dayton to find out if it were even possible to do this?
Well, my business partner and Rosalie Froudakis, she's my we were once married, but she still runs my business and has for 40 years. She's the one who actually contacted Dayton. There was some people there at the Historical Society. You know, they have a museum right in the courthouse in the basement, so they don't completely ignore what happened there. They do recognize it. And actually, you know, the reasonable people in town, which is by far the majority, they're the ones you don't hear as much. You hear the one, you know, people who are loudly protesting, but the reasonable people don't see a problem with it. In fact, one of the individuals in the Historical Society, when the statue of Clarence Darrow was put up, I mean, not Clarence Darrow, William James Bryan, I think it was 2002, but he said at that time, well, now we need one of Clarence Darrow. And but it wasn't going to happen unless somebody did it, you know, and I was aware of that, and I was aware, I had done some research and read that, and as I said, and I thought it was just important to make this happen. And so I did the research. I found every photo I could get. I went online. I looked at the video of him. I, you know, made prints from that. I listened to books on Darrow while I was working on Darrow. And so I put it together. And then a friend of mine who runs the, Margaret Downey, who runs the Free Thought Society, got me in contact with people at the Freedom From Religion Foundation, with Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker. And so they thought it was an important project, and they got behind it. And so, but I just went ahead and leaped first this time.
Why did you think to approach, like, the Free Thought Society, the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the American Humanists?
Because all of them, especially the Freedom From Religion Foundation, they want to keep our secular life, our government life, free of religious influences and biases and of a particular kind. You start to get one, and then you might get another, and then you see the problems it creates around the world. You know, when religion and that's, you know, people came here to get away from a lot of that. And this is something I expressed to them. You don't have to more than just print articles about what you think in terms of separation of church and state and do legislative things. You know, they've stopped Ten Commandments from going in courthouse lawns and so on. This is a way to put up a sculpture that's going to last a long time, hopefully, unless somebody, you know, does some, tries to do something to it. And it's a nonverbal statement, and yet it's a statement. So, I mean, if something happens to it, I have rubber mold, I can replace it. You know, I can make another bronze, so I just have to stay. I just thought it was important, and I'd like to see more sculpture of humanists, and it's important to me.
How worried were you about having the Freedom From Religion Foundation backing the construction of this statue? You know, it might cause problems. They're definitely not popular with some people in Dayton, Tennessee.
I know, and they're not. And I was worried about it. And they've been, I think they have been very, they stayed in the background. They didn't want to, it wasn't that they were hiding it so much, but they didn't, it was members, some of their members that, many of that, that contributed. And they wanted to, they don't want to aggravate people. I don't, certainly. We don't want, and I think most people aren't. You know, there are just a few people, like these, a few ministers that were upset, but they're in a different business than I am. You know, they're in the, you know, they're in a business where they're selling religion, and some of them, you know, are hard selling it. And, you know, they're like, you know, they're very pushy about it, and it's a different mindset. But I mean, I think that most people don't want, they would be embarrassed, as people were even in 1925. They, you know, they did that whole trial because they wanted to bring money to the town. It was suffering because industry had left, and they wanted to bring attention to it, but they didn't want it to get ugly. They didn't want to be considered rogues, or, you know, to be considered backward. And
so before you created the sculpture, the bronze statue of Clarence Darrow, you actually came to town, I've heard, and toured the town, toured the courthouse where the Scopes trial happened, tried to get a feel for what it was like for Darrow. What specifically did you do?
Well, I even came, I wore the suspenders, and I pulled my pants up high like he did. And I thought, you know, I grew up in small towns in Indiana, Crown Point, Indiana, which is similar, and Gary and other, and they're very similar, especially Crown Point is similar. But I thought that the town was, it looked like a lot of small towns to me. I don't think it would hurt it in terms, again, going back to the economy, to have a statue there and have people come there to see it, or to see the two of them. Clarence, you know, Clarence Darrow supported William Jennings Bryan when he first ran for president. And financially, I think he made speeches on his behalf. And you know, and William James Bryan did things like he supported women's suffrage. He was a very big supporter of women's suffrage. And one of the reasons he opposed evolution and, you know, and Clarence Darrow, and he was concerned with the survival of the fittest, which was, you know, coined by Spencer and Herbert Spencer. And he was concerned it was being used in World War One, because they had just gone through it with the people like the, you know, like the, well, governments like the Germans, who said they were using World War One as a kind of, you know, we're superior. He didn't even see, and he didn't live to see, you know, Hitler doing it later. And, you know, and he was concerned about that. And I can appreciate that. What I guess, you know, he grew up in a small town, and I think he was born in Nebraska. Actually, John Scopes was born in the same town as William James Bryan was. But he, you know, he had that literal Bible mentality. Although, from what I've read, he didn't, and he says in the trial, and I have this on the bronze relief, he does say it's, when Clarence Darrow asked him, do you think the world was created in 6 days? And he, and William James Bryan answered, not in 6 24-hour days. And then they go on, and Bryan says, well, it might have been hundreds of thousands of years, it might have been 600,000 years, and so on. So when once you do that, and that's why I put it on the relief, it pretty much says, you know, opens it up. And even I think Darrow was saying, look, you can believe in religion and so on, but it does, and maybe believe in evolution. You don't have to, unless you're a literalist. And why pick that particular thing to be literal about? There are a lot, because what Darrow did when he cross-examined Bryan is say to him, well, when the Bible says that the sun stood still, do you think that God made the sun stand still? And, you know, and that's a literal interpretation. And then, you know, Bryan had to say, no, the sun doesn't go around the earth, and so on. So that, you know, it becomes a matter of interpretation. And what Darrow was trying to say to him is, you know, what's real is, you know, accept what's real and what's fact, and things like evolution. It's, you know, it's a theory, like gravity is a theory, but you're not going to step out of a third floor window. You know, you realize that when scientists say theory, it's not the way the layman use that word. It's fact. You know, the dinosaur bones are there. The human bones are there. There's a, you know, it's a reality. Quantum theory is fact. You know, you can call it the theory of, but you know, so that's what a lot of that was about. And I'm trying to, with Darrow, the sculpture there, I think it's just trying to keep it about reality and science and knowledge and you know, I think that's positive. We need that going into the future.
What are you hoping your statue of Clarence Darrow, your life-size bronze statue right there on the courthouse lawn, does for Dayton, Tennessee, like tourism?
Well, I do hope that it will help tourism, and just like it did in 1925, but the difference being, instead of mocking the town the way H.L. Mencken did, you don't want that, you know, and he was cruel. And even the movie Inherit the Wind isn't fair, but that was reacting to the Russian, you know, to the scare, the whole McCarthy period and all that, and Hollywood is reacting to that. But I think that, overreacting probably, but I think that it can be, I think, very positive for tourism. I mean, you can't, obviously with the museum there, you can't pretend that Clarence Darrow wasn't there. And, you know, there have been some civilizations in China in the past where the new emperor would try to destroy the history that came before him, sort of like all started with him, you know. You can't do that. We know better. We're not naive. You know, the Pandora's box is open. You know, use different analogies, but we're not innocent that way. That's I do think it can be very positive. I think it'll help the coffee shop down the street where I got my coffee, my cappuccino. It'll help the sandwich shop I went into. You know, more people will come. And I hope so. Certainly from all of this, at least initially, there'll be more people there. Reporters, if nothing else. Nobody else.
That conversation was recorded in 2017, before the unveiling of Zenos Froudakis' statue of Clarence Darrow. Despite concerns of protests, possibly even violence, the statue went up without any problems, and today, it's in front of the Ray County Courthouse. I'm Michael Edward Miller. You've been listening to Around and About. If you have questions, comments, or story ideas, email me, mike-miller@utc.edu.